will be taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, and verse 19. Chapter 2, rather, verse 19. The passage, well, that verse was included in the passage that was read. We ask that the verse be read again, just verse 19.
Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God.
And chapter 3, verse 15.
Of whom the family in heaven and earth is named.
Read that again.
Of whom the family in heaven and earth is named.
Today we look on the subject, God's family, the church. God's family, the church. In fact, before we proceed, most likely tonight, we look on the subject, one of two subjects, either before you say, I do. Before you say, I do. Some considerations that are to be given before we enter the institution of marriage. If it is not that lesson, the other lesson under consideration that might be shared is, happy marriages, family make better Christians. Happy marriages, happy, stable families make better Christians. Very important as we look on these, one of these lessons tonight. Today we look on God's family, the church. The New Testament speaks extensively on the family of God. Everywhere in the New Testament where the Bible speaks of the house of God or the household of God, it is speaking about God's family, the church. Anywhere in the New Testament, you find the phrase, the house of God or the household of God. The church as God's family is under consideration. Among the passages, we will not read all of them, we may read one or two or three. You find passage like the one we have just read, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. You find passage like Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15. You have passages like 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. You have passages like Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Passages like Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Passage such as 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, and many others. These passages, you will find in them the inspired writer talking about the house of God or the household of God. Let us look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Another brother may turn to Galatians 6:10.
But if I tarry long,
but if I did not come
that thou mayest
as early as I planned,
that thou mayest know how,
Timothy may know
how thou oughtest to behave thyself
more properly
in the house
how
of God.
Men are to behave themselves
in the house
in
of
the
God.
In the house of God.
Which is the church of the living God.
Which is the church of the living God.
The pillar and ground of the truth.
Mm-hmm. The house of God. Which is the church of the living God. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 6. And then Galatians, if you have Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, let us have it.
As we have therefore opportunity.
Because our sins we have, or wherever we have the opportunity.
Let us do good unto all men.
Let us do good to all men. But here is a particular area of preference.
Especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
And to them which belong to God's family. The church. That is what is called the household of faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 3 verse 6.
But Christ as son over his own
Jesus house. Christ as a son. Over his own house. Wait. Moses. The passage was comparing Christ and Moses of the Old Testament. Moses was only a servant. Christ as a son over his
own house.
His own
house.
What is that?
Whose house are we?
We, the church. The Christian make up the house of God.
If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end.
So brothers and sisters, all these texts, they are talking or rather emphasizing the fact that God's spiritual family is the church of Christ. Now, notice this. This family has God as the Father. Who is the daddy, the head of this family? God Himself. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Chapter 4, verse 6 and 7.
For ye are all the children of God by faith.
You are the children of God. God is the daddy, the papa, the head of this family. You, the Christians, are what?
The children of God by faith.
The children of God by
faith.
Faith.
In Christ Jesus.
In Jesus Christ. Then chapter 4 verse 6 and 7.
And because ye are sons.
Because. Watch here. Only because you are son, you can say, Papa, Papa. That's what the word Abba. Read it, brother.
God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Only, it's important that we get this. Only because you are sons and daughters. But aren't everyone sons and daughters? No, that's why he was so specific. Well, sorry, let's turn it around. The passage is teaching, if you are not sons, if you have not become a child of God spiritually, you don't have the right to call God Daddy Daddy. That's what the passage. Know this. Because you are son, you can call upon God. This is not talking about son by creation. You understand? It's talking about son in Christ. That's where this sonship comes from. In Christ, only when you are in Christ, you are this type of pickney, or children that you can say, you can go to God in prayer and call him Daddy, Papa. That was verse
6, 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant.
You are no more a servant.
But a son.
But a son.
And if a son.
If. You notice these conditional words. Because. Based on this. If. A son.
Then an heir of God.
Then you are an heir of God. Huh?
Amen.
So God is in fact the father of this family, the church. Jesus Christ is the firstborn and elder brother. Are we there? That's right. You might be there thinking, but Brother Mitchell, I thought that Jesus Christ was the head of the church. Yes. Then how you said God is the head? Well, the church as a family, because Jesus Christ is the elder brother, then the Almighty God has given him to be. You didn't read it. That is the person who's really in charge gave him to be head. Eh? Can you help me with the passage of Ephesians? And had given him to be the head over all things to the church. Is it chapter 3, verse 15 or somewhere there? Ephesians or chapter 1? And God had given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. So here's the point. God is the one who placed Jesus Christ in charge of the church. We also read in the book of Corinthians 15 where Jesus Christ one day going to turn back the kingdom, which is the church, to the Father. But Christ is the firstborn. He is the elder brother. Wait. We and Jesus Christ are not on equal terms. As an elder brother, he has what we do not have. Are we there? Romans chapter 8. Verse 16 and 17. Let us hear it.
The Spirit itself.
The Spirit itself beareth
witness with our spirit.
With our spirit.
That we are the children of God.
We are God's technon. The word children here is the word technon, and the word literally means one born. That's right. One born. That's right. You get the idea here? This is talk about born again people. That's the type of children under consideration here. Read the passage again, brother.
The Spirit itself beareth witness.
That is the Holy Spirit bear witness with our spirit.
That we are the children of God.
That we are the children of God. Watch here. That's read verse 16 through 17.
And if children.
If. Here again is the conditional word. Christians and visiting friends. Don't take this conditional word. If. Lightly. You see, because what it is implying, you might not be a child of God. But if in fact you are, if children, watch here now.
Then hears.
Then hears.
Hears of God.
Hears of God.
And joint hears with Christ.
You get the point? It's bringing in our bigger brother. You see, we are. Is H-E-I-R, no?
Yes, sorry.
That's right. That's not this here on my head. Recently, since Olive went back, my daughter, she was speaking to my granddaughter, Shiloh, Melanie's daughter, on the phone, and was questioning her about different people that were at the house, and she asked her a lot of things. Olive was sort of astounded at the memory of the little child. She asked, what color is grandma here, and what color is jeans here? And then finally she asked, what color is grandpa here? She responded by saying, grandpa does not have any hair. So I love to get some. So the word here is not this here. You know, Prince Charles is a heir to the British throne. That means you are in line to inherit something good and great. Now let us hear the verse again, brother.
And if children.
If we are children.
Then here's.
But notice, it's not going to stop there. We are here, but watch here.
Hears of God.
Hears of God.
And joint here.
And whatever Jesus Christ is in line to get, we are also in line to get. We are joint here.
With Christ.
With Jesus Christ.
If so be that we suffer with him.
If so be that all the trials and persecutions and challenges that come our way as Christians, if we go through them and hold on to Jesus Christ.
That we may be also glorified together.
That we may also share in the glory of Jesus Christ. Are we there? Our bigger brother. Are we there? In fact, while we are on that point, let us hear a little of verse 19.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation
wait,
of the
wait,
Son.
Wait. You hear this passage? Listen it again. For the
earnest expectation.
Earnest are anxious. Expectation
of the creature.
Wait. Some translation says creation. That is talking about the inanimate nature. It is giving life to nature. The passage is giving animation, intelligence to nature. For the earnest
expectation of the creature,
of the creation,
waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Brother Mitchell, that's confusing. What the passage is saying is that all creation, nature, waits anxiously for the revelation or the disclosing of our sonship. That is when our real picking wood, sonship and daughtership, when the time comes for that to be really manifested, make place, even nature await for that. You remember the same book of Romans tell us how nature groan? That's right. In that passage in Romans, it tells us that angel groaned. The church was also groaning. Nature is groaning. Angel. But now it is telling us that the creation, nature, the inanimate nature out there is animated, gives life. And it is anxiously waiting for the day when your daughtership and sonship will really be revealed and manifested. Are we there, brothers and sisters? Yes. Jesus Christ is the bigger brother. But here is it with this family. It is a huge family. But Brother Mitchell, yes, you and I sometimes use the wrong thing to determine the size of the family. The Bible is going to tell us how large God's family is. And we may use the family of God in any locality. Huh? The Church of Christ in a particular locality might just be 10 people. Don't use that to determine what's the size of God's family. The Church of Christ in any community might be a few thousand. Sometimes we have congregation 5,000, 6,000, that's right, 8,000. The Wyoming congregation in Michigan where Brother Dallas Walker preached, he has done about 2 meetings for us. In fact, he should have been here during the medical clinic. But just to come and just fall out at the house, you know, he's such a great, wonderful person. But right then, he had to undergo a surgery and was unable to come. His congregation is probably 600-700. You see, but you do not take that to estimate God's family. You see, that is just the family, that 20 at this congregation are that 100 or that 5,000, that is what part of the family in that locality is. Listen God's word in respect to the size of the family. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15. Let us hear it.
Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
Wait, of whom? So Brother Mitchell, part of this family is in heaven. You didn't hear it? Let us hear it again.
Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
You know, I remember when Elijah got discouraged. Are we there? Are you there with me? When Elijah, sometime I get them mixed up. I don't know why they wear those two names. Elijah, Elisha. You know? Anyway, that's right. When Elijah got discouraged and thought that he was the only prophet of God left. And when you have all of Israel taking side with Ahab and Jezebel. And the Almighty God opened the eyes of Elijah. And the man sees so much people and so much angel, him almost dead right away. That's right. I mean, there were so many angels ready to come to his assistance. We must not be discouraged that we are alone. We are never alone. The Bible says, and the whole family we're in heaven and on earth. Are we there? Are we there? Brothers and sisters, the passage here includes family of God. Well, it includes, and I will be saying more about this, it includes, that is, God's family includes the angel of God in heaven. God's family includes the saints that are in paradise. God's family includes the Christians who constitute the church of Christ on earth. That constitute, when the Bible talks about the old family, where you said they are, Brother Mitchell? Angels in heaven. Huh? Saints in Hades or paradise. And the Christians on earth. When the Bible speaks of the old family in heaven and on earth, it includes those. But not only those, that. How do we become a part of this family, Brother Mitchell? You know, there's a thing called adoption. We are a person who belong to somebody else is adopted into a family. Eh? And wear that family name, become a part of that family. That's one way. Another way is to be born in the family. Eh? We enter this family by the new birth of baptism. Are we there? And I was about to say there is no other way, but let me clarify some here. Even where the Bible speaks of adoption in reference to God's children, that adoption includes baptism. Baptism is a part of that adoption. So there is no way you can become a part of this great family of God. This great family of God that have saints, have angels in heaven, saints in Hades or paradise, and the Christian on earth who make up the church. There is no way you can become a part of this family unless you go through baptism. Remember, wait, let me add. Remember in the book of Hebrews when the Bible tells us that when we become Christians, we come to an innumerable host of angels. That's part of the family. Big family. So don't ever be daunted by small congregation of the Lord's body. The family is large. We enter this family by the new birth of baptism. St. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, chapter 3, verse 3-7. Let us hear it quick. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Let us hear it.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
As many as received Jesus Christ, the Almighty God gives them the ability to become what?
Sons of God.
Sons of God. You can be a son of, or a daughter of God if you give Jesus Christ the chance. That was verse 12.
Yes.
13.
Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
You hear? You have to be born by the will of God. What this verse is saying, it is not a physical birth. Amen. Like your biological birth. It is different. Because in this case, you are going to be made a member of the spiritual family of God. And you need to be a part of this family. Chapter 3, verse 3-7.
Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Except a man be born again.
Notice the word. We had said the word that is translated children or child in the book of Romans. It means one born, but we need to add the word again. A child of God is one who has been born again. May I? The first birth exposed us to the physical blessings of life. The second birth exposed us to God's spiritual blessing in Christ. The first birth makes us brothers and sisters biologically, physically, earthly. The second birth makes us brothers and sisters spiritually, heavenward. What you read there about born again in the book of St. John chapter 3 verse 3?
Except a man be born again.
Except a man be born again.
He cannot. See the kingdom of God.
Read on, brother.
Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old?
Now verse 5 is going to tell us what birth is involved here. Read on.
Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
Read.
Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
The water has to play a part in your new birth. The Holy Spirit, through the gospel, plays a part also. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. This is referring to baptism. Are we there? And Christ says, without it, you cannot enter the kingdom, which is the church, which is God's family. Let us talk a little more about this new birth now. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2.
As newborn babe.
With chapter 1, verse 23. Read, brother.
As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word.
When you become a child of God through faith, repentance, and baptism, God sees you, and in fact, you are a newborn. If you are 90 years old, 100 plus, you are still a newborn. Because you have just been born into God's family. As newborn babes, When you become a child of God, you should love to listen to the word. That is a sign that you are spiritually healthy. If you are a child of God, born 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, or just yesterday you were baptized or born spiritually, there must be an appetite in you for the word. May I? Do you know that even a sick person, eating is important? Especially a sick person. A healthy person, to remain healthy, you need to have some good appetite. And please, don't go on spiritual diet. That is killing. My daughter Ali was talking about losing weight. And I remember when we saw her in June, I said, "You have taken off a lot of weight." And she said, "Yes." But she said, "I don't go on diet because that's not so good." She said, "What I do is change my lifestyle. That includes what you eat and how you eat." So please, I'm begging you, don't kill yourself spiritually by going on diet. I'm not talking about dietary diet, food diet. You see, a lot of times we become Christians and we develop bad habits, telling ourselves that when we listen to one sermon, that can keep me all week. One meal keep you all day? When you had your breakfast this morning, you mean that you are so wise and smart that there would be no need for you to eat for the rest of the day? Much more the rest of the week? Are we there? That little picnic, one of the sign of good health is when the country people saying crazy, you see. That's a good sign. That's right. And parents, when you see your children, eat. Once you know they are not sick, give God thanks. But Brother Mitchell, me have to use up every cent, me have to buy food. That's good. The child is healthy. When you see that child picky, and they don't want this, they don't like that. That's just like some people in the church, you know. They don't like this sermon, they don't want that. They always tell you what they don't want. Sooner or later, they're going to die of spiritual malnutrition. As newborn babe desire the sincere milk of the word. That you may what, brother?
That he may grow thereby.
That you may what?
Grow thereby.
You all hear it? We talk about God's family. Then look now. Look now at chapter 1, verse 23.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God.
You hear again, being born again. But notice this. It says, the seed, the sperm which brings you around was not the one that can die like human sperm. Are we there? The Bible is speaking in biological language here. When it uses the word seed. You see, the word of God, which is the instrument of the Holy Spirit, is taking into consideration, are we there, the male factor in bringing about a child. Eh? We were born, but the seed that produced us is not subject to decay, death, and disease. The seed is the word of God. That's what makes us born in God's family. Talks about born again. In John chapter 3 verse 5, which was read, tell us what that is. Are we there? Are we there? Let's hear Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Galatians 4, 4 and 5.
But when the fullness of the time was come,
uh-huh,
God sent forth his Son,
uh-huh,
made of a woman,
uh-huh,
made under the law,
uh-huh,
to redeem them that were under the law,
uh-huh,
that we might receive the adoption of sons.
That we might receive
the adoption of sons.
The adoption of sons. This adoption includes baptism. Are we there? God's family. Watch it, watch it. God's family is a family that is separated, are we there? By time, by space, by geographical location, but we are one by our beliefs and practice. The family of God, the church of Christ. We are separated by time. Huh? Christian in Australia, in England, Eddie and the church there, we are not on the same time. Be you are thinking in terms of artificial time, where a country may address its time depending on how much light you have in the morning. The United States does that every year. Our real time in respect to the equator and whatever else. We are separate, different time. Wait, sorry, Eddie had said last week to say, give his regard to the church. I was just about to say we were on the phone talking and we needed to talk more. And I said to him, you can phone me down here at a particular time. But when it's like 10, 11 years, it's going to be like when Eddie had dreamed. Gone to bed and asleep deep. We are separated by time. We are separated by space. Are we there? We are separated by geographical location. We live in different countries. The family of God I'm still talking about. But you see, we are still one. Not simply because we say we are one, but because we embrace the same teaching. And the same practice. That's what makes us one in Christ. Listen, the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Let us hear it following. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10.
Now I beseech you, brethren,
mm-hmm,
by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ,
uh-huh,
that ye all speak the same thing.
You all hear that? Wait. This is as it relates to our teaching and our doctrine. You must realize here, it's not talking about whatever you say about this building, I must say so. Whatever you say about the prime minister, I must say so. Whatever you say about the car, it's not talking about secular things. It's talking about the doctrine of Christ. I beseech your brethren, by the name of, that is on the authority and the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That's what makes us one. And that
there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
That means we must arrive at the same understanding and conclusion in spiritual matters. Verse 12.
Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am Apollos.
Wait. Anyway, in Christ I try to belong to Paul, I am destroying my relationship with Christ. Amen. Say it another way. No, Brother Mitchell, thank you for asking. You cannot be of Paul and of Christ at the same time, religiously. You get it? You sure you get it? If you got it, you would know you cannot be a Baptist and a Christian at the same time. Amen. You cannot be a Methodist and a Christian at the same time. You know, see, some of you say,
I am of Paul.
Some say,
and I of Apollos.
Some say,
and I of Cephas.
You cannot be a child of God and at the same time spiritually, religiously, be this, that, and whatever. You cannot. That's what that passage is teaching. You don't believe me? Notice verse 13.
Is Christ divided?
Is Christ divided into Paul, Cephas, Apollos? Is Christ divided into Baptist, Seventh-day Adventist, Methodist? You get it? You sure you get it? May I? Oh, Lord. Time is gone. But do you know one of the interesting... Look here. Let me just state it and wrap up. May I have to come back? I never dreamt I would have to come back to this lesson. Anyway, look here now. Look here now. You're looking. Things which happen in a healthy, functionally balanced, biological family should be more so in the spiritual family of God. Let me repeat that, and I will elaborate on it another time. Because these two are the points to be looked at. You know, it's very important. The things, and I mean the positive things, the good things which happen in a healthy, functionally balanced, biological, physical family should be more so in the spiritual family of God. Those good things we see in a biological family. Your family might be one of those. Where there is a healthy degree of care, concern for one another, helping one another, not destroying one another. Are we there? Ready to give assistance, to lift up one another? Wait. Now I understand what you were saying, Brother Mill. So let me repeat it. The positive things which happen in a healthy, functionally balanced, physical, biological family should be more so in the spiritual family. When my brothers, there are four of us, when my brothers, any of them, have a serious issue, I am concerned, I'm the oldest. When I have an issue, they are concerned. And that's the way. In fact, there was a time when, up to a few years ago, I was the only one of 9 children who grown to be adult. I was the only one living here. My older sister, the one that I follow, she migrated to Canada, and it wasn't long after that she ready to send for me. But at that time, I got a scholarship to study in the U.S. So the next thing, she sent for the brother who followed me. That is the one who comes here. He's a member of the Church of Christ in Mandeville. And then before long, they sent for the sister who follow him. And before long, they sent for the brother who follow her. And before long, 8 of us were living abroad. Then, not long after, they sent for my mother and father, leaving me alone here. We were looking out for the welfare of each other. The positive things that happen in a biological family, if that family is functioning, I'll let you into some secret. Remember, we are closing. When, through the help of Brother Williams, yes, never forget him, even though I forget Sister Williams. Great people. When through the help of Brother William built a lovely house in Forest Hill as an investment, Brother Williams was behind me in it. And when the house was sold, the people who bought it leave some of the money with my sister, US dollar that I need, and lot of money in New York. My sister was afraid to keep that much money, US dollar, on her. So all she did was to phone my brother in Canada to drive down and take the money and lodge it in Canada. And my brother saw a nice deal then, right on Wilson Avenue in Canada, a commercial building for sale. He just used my money to buy the building. That's right. Just use my money to buy the building. But you know what? He knew where we live. He knew that one is businesslike, very businesslike. He was expecting some money and needed some cash right there. By the time Sister Mitchell and myself arrived here, he had the money to give us. But that's the way we live. I was glad for years he ran his own upholstery business right there on Wilson Avenue in that building. What did I say? A healthy, functionally family, eh? What you see in that family, we should see, that is the positive thing, we should see even more of it in the family of God. A non-functional and unhealthy physical family, the lot of negative things we see in that family, we should not want to see that in the family of God. But I will say more if God is willing, and I pick up on the rest of the lesson next week. I will be looking on some of the privileges and blessings to which we are exposed when we are a part of God's family. Wait. The unbelievers among us, the visitors among us, yes, there are blessings from God, privileges from God that God has only for those belonging to His family. And I'm saying to you today that if you're here and if you're not a child of God, to keep that in mind. There are certain blessings that God reserves for those who belong to God's spiritual family. When the Bible talks about that, do good to all men, but give special consider. You see, I see anything God does. God gives special consideration to the children of God. Those who belong to His family. We'll speak more about that next week. Right now, you can become a part of God's family. You are to, you need to. It is the family of God, those who belong to the body of Christ, the church of Christ, the family of God, that God is going to say on the day of judgment to them, come in, blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Come now. Come, believing in Jesus as the Son of God, the Christ, your Lord, your Savior. Come now, not just believe, because mere belief does not save you. Come now, repenting. You must want so much to be a part of God's family that you will give up your selfish, sinful, worldly ways. Repentance is imperative. It's a must. You must turn from your ungodly, disobedient ways and turn to Jesus Christ in obedience. But even at repentance, you're not a child of God. You must be willing to confess Christ's name. And having confessed Christ's name, you must be buried with Christ. That's what the Bible says. When you are baptized, you are uniting with Christ in His redeeming act. In His death, burial, and resurrection. You can do that today. But if you need some clarification before you are baptized, if you need to satisfy yourself in some things that need to be made plainer from the lesson, you can still step forward and we will talk with you. We are not here debating whether you need Jesus Christ or not. You need Christ. You need to repent of your sin and get baptized and make a commitment to God. You need that. We are appealing to your better sense. Don't leave here when right now Jesus Christ gives you a chance to become a part of His family, the church family. So many blessings right now from God, and blessing awaiting you. We are going to stand and sing. As we sing a song to the glory and honor of God's name,